Hey guys, welcome back to the podcast. Glad that you are with me here on Love Well this week. Have a special treat. Great conversation with my good friend, Nate Seuss. He is a middle school teacher, a coach, just a really, really good dude. And I think that you are going to absolutely love this conversation. And so Nate hits on things like leadership, empathy, but one of the word pictures that he uses in this conversation is that love provides the roots for every other good thing in our lives. And I thought that was money. So, hey, without further ado, enjoy this conversation with Nate Seuss. Nathan Seuss.
What's going on, Mr. Rose?
How are you, buddy?
I'm good, brother. I'm good.
Good, good. So, just for the sake of everybody, we've been already sitting here drinking some bourbon and chopping it up. So, you know, it really should have probably started recording like 20 minutes ago.
There would have been some good stuff.
There would have been some really good stuff. all right. So, we're doing this. I'm doing the series on loving well. I got to know you when Ethan and Libby were at the middle school.
Yep.
And, you were Ethan's football coach, eighth grade.
Good kid.
Did you have either one of them I don't think you had either one of them in your classes, did you?
I don't think so. I think they were both Purple Hall. I had Libby.
Oh, that's right. You did have Libby.
Yeah. But Ethan was over in Purple Hall. And it was, but I knew him right away from football, and football mm-hmm. starts before school, so that was nice.
Yep.
I think everybody else, well, see, I think Nate was in the other hall, but Kiwan was over there, was with us and everything else, so.
Yep.
That was a good year.
That was a good year. So we got to know each other pretty well, especially that eighth grade year, because we had the football team over here for game days for team
cookouts.
One
of the coolest things, just to come back, like when I came over, it was just nice to see the backyard again.
Yeah.
Right?
And yeah.
Cookouts are good, and it was throwing around with the boys. And
yep.
That was nice.
That was a good time. So, all right, so you teach at the middle school, you're a football coach. So what else? Like as you kind of think through, you know, just give a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of background on on yourself.
I think to me, the middle, so I've been there, 19 years? I've lived here in the community because I was on the other side of Ipsy.
Right.
Right, so like Depot Town. And so when my wife and I decided, you know, we're going to get married, have a family, blah, blah, so we still lived there. But got pregnant, we're like, well, what are we going to do?
Right,
because what community do we want our kids to grow up in? And I teach here.
Yep.
That's my kid's going to Lincoln. My kid's going to be with me, right?
Yep.
My kid's going to be with the people I hang out with, talk to. And so that's when we bought here, right?
Yep.
So back in 2009. So that's probably 7 years after I started teaching at Lincoln. So for about 12 years, we've lived here.
Okay.
Which is nice. And now my boy's in seventh grade, right? So he's going to start seventh grade, which is 1 year away from being in those pink and purple halls, right?
That's crazy.
Gonna be a little sketchy, but he's excited. I'm excited.
That's awesome.
I hope everybody else is excited. I'll see how it works out. But I don't know. So being a coach, I think I always wanted to be a coach. I never thought I was going to teach eighth grade.
Right.
It was going to be high school. It was going to be geography, and it was going to be football.
Yeah.
And I taught science. I did football, right?
Yep.
I don't even do that anymore, which is maybe one day I'll get back into it. So Lisa does, my wife went back to grad school.
Okay.
So I had to pick track or football.
Gotcha.
It broke my heart to pick track, but it was, the time commitment was better.
Yeah.
And I think you can reach more people. I think maybe that's the part of what I really love about coaching. And I don't know, it doesn't matter if it's football. It doesn't matter if it's because I've coached basketball for a little bit. I don't recommend hiring me as a basketball coach. But track was something that I coached softball. That was a fun one. It doesn't matter what you coach.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you teach, because I taught science, now I teach social studies. And to me, it's that relationship you build with kids. And yep. So it doesn't matter. And with right. track, you can reach 100, we have 140 kids, 160 kids come out for the track team. 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, boys and girls. So you can reach this huge breadth of people.
Yep.
Right? That football doesn't give you. Football right. gives you like some really cool middle school boys.
Yep.
Every once in a while you get a girl, which is, fantastic,
yep.
but
yep.
it's rare. So now you can reach everybody.
Right.
And I don't know, it's nice. But the difference between track and football, you don't have this, like, it's not as tight. Like, football okay. is kind of like you go through battle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Track's not a battle.
Right.
Football's more of a battle.
Yeah.
So you kind of, it's like you go through something. I think you get a little tighter that way. But what else? So I'm a big fan of trips.
Okay.
So you know that, like with DC, with
yep.
Boat trips. I think if you get kids out there seeing stuff,
yep.
it's huge, because learning doesn't just happen in the classroom
right.
and stuff like that. So the other thing that I'm really into, and maybe it goes along with what we're talking about today, is being a web leader.
Okay.
So there's that web program that Lincoln has.
So for people who have no idea what that is.
Yeah. So web is where everybody belongs, right?
Okay.
Which if you talk to the kid this year, he says it's everyone.
Yeah.
I said, oh, it's everybody. Well, he likes to argue, but he has a good kid. And it's the same program the high school has, like Link
yeah.
Crew. So maybe people are yep. familiar with that. But what it is, it's a group. It teaches kids leadership skills that they can then use for transition programs.
Okay.
So let's say a fifth grader is coming into the middle school. The nasty middle school that they
right.
read about, and Diary of a Wimpy Kid, and
yeah,
all those kind of
yeah,
books,
yeah.
and they're freaked out of their mind. They don't know how to work a locker. There's these big eighth graders. There's high school kids they ride a bus with, and they're just
right.
freaked out coming from like this nice little elementary school.
Right, right.
And so what we do is we teach eighth graders the skills and the tenets of kindness, compassion, empathy, understanding, all those kind of things. And then they work with those kids throughout the year to make them more comfortable.
Okay.
And just like the high school does for the ninth graders, eighth graders, because they're freaked out too.
Yep.
As much as they won't admit it, because
right.
they're, invincible 13-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah, and they're super cool.
Yeah, oh, way cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They got all the answers.
All of them.
All of them.
Just ask them.
That's right. They'll tell you.
But yeah, no, so that to me is... one of the cool, and it's an I teach a class on it actually, so that's what's really neat, is kind of getting those kids in and hearing them talk about and how they grow from, because they're coming in, they don't know all those skills yet.
Right.
They think, okay, I'm a leader. Well, what does it mean?
Yeah.
Well, leader means you got to really put yourself aside for somebody else. You might have to get in an uncomfortable situation to help somebody else out, and it's cool how that grows.
Yeah.
Even this year, with this COVID year, where kids weren't there, kids were there, kids were online, kids were everywhere else. And even that, you saw this huge growth. And that was actually a highlight of this year, was seeing growth that you didn't think was going to happen because of the weird circumstances.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right? So,
that's what we were telling Libby, I was like, man, hopefully, all the college admission stuff, take test scores and just boot them. Like,
please.
For her classroom.
Can we complete? Please just do that now.
Right. Because I think about what I watched her and her friends do this year, the skills that they learned, how to work together, how to, do life and figure all that out.
And do it quickly.
Yeah.
Like, there wasn't, the learning curve was.
They zigged.
Yeah.
They zigged before anybody, could even possibly even imagine.
Yes.
Right? And they adapted, and it's like.
Well, that was one of the
things.
That's one of the things I think that was coolest about kids this year. If somebody was asking me, what was the biggest gain from this year? Because hopefully the year wasn't just, flatline, right? So there was a gain. And to me, it's seeing that.
Mm-hmm.
It's seeing that. We baby kids a lot, and that's
yep.
great, and that's
yep.
fine, right? Because we want to protect our kids and everything else, but they don't need it as much as we think we do. They're strong.
Yeah.
They can way more easily adapt than adults.
Yep.
Right? They don't worry as much about it. I know there's some kids that do, and I don't want to dismiss that.
Right,
but,
right.
But truly, it's remarkable to see kids and what they can do.
Yep.
When they have to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
When they're empowered to do it.
Yes. Well, that's...
I think that has been amazing. I think about, this class is going to graduate, Libby's, whatever it is, 2022 class.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
well, you figure there, if you want to, and again, I don't want to dismiss the year, but that's a year and a half of weirdness.
Yeah.
Right? Of just
half of her high school career has been spent at home.
Yeah. That's right? Crazy.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But they had to figure it out. And
she's still a smart kid.
Yeah.
She's still adjusted. She still has friends.
Right.
She's still.
And talk about kids that are going to be ready for college.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what I mean? Like, they figured out how to manage their time. They figured out how to go to class and all these things.
Well, I don't know about you, but, and I don't want to give a whole lot away.
Yeah.
But college, those first couple of years of college was tough, man, when you had a little free reign. And I was good. I went to Christian school, right? So you were going to class. I think I missed like one day.
Yeah.
Like, and that was it. It was senior skip day, and I'm going to tell you something. I got permission because I knew I didn't want to get in trouble. So I asked my dad. I didn't go to mom,
no.
right? I said, Dad, senior skip day. He goes, what's that? You know, because I said, no, it's when we skip school, but everybody's skipping school.
Yeah.
So we had 70-some in our graduating class, and we were all going to skip and go to Tigers game.
Yeah.
We're all going to meet at like some Elias Brothers big boys.
Yeah.
Three people showed up. Nobody mustered up the courage, you know?
No.
And I'm like,
my gosh.
So I don't know what we ended up. We didn't end up going to a game, but I think we just had breakfast and everyone else went, you know, we all went our separate ways. But
that's wild.
But I don't know. To me, there's just, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Right? When, I don't know.
Yep.
So, but yeah. They're going to have skills that they definitely know, like, I got to go to class.
Right.
If I don't go to class, I'm going to fail.
Yep.
Or I'm not going to do as well.
Yep.
And that, for me, getting back to me, that was something I had to learn. Libby's going to have that skill.
Yep.
All those kids from, I don't know how little you're going to get, but from middle school up, I guarantee they had the skill on how to do an online class. Mm-hmm. I mean, first online class I did was like post-grad work.
100%.
You know, it wasn't even grad school. It was post-grad school. And I was like, okay, what's an online class?
Yeah.
Now, I know, you know.
Yeah.
These kids will know. It's easy.
Yep. It's easy.
You know, or it would be easier for them, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they're going to, I mean, yeah, they've experienced and seen so much. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. 100%. So, all right, man. My mom was a teacher. And every time a niece, nephew, grandchild, whatever, starts saying, I think I'm going to want to be a teacher. her immediate response is, oh, for the love of God, please don't be a teacher. If you can do anything else, be that. Don't be a teacher unless it's the only thing that you feel like you can do. Why in the heck did you become a teacher?
I have no idea. I'm going to straight up. I'm not going to lie. You know, you're supposed to say in your philosophy of teaching, you have to write this for your portfolio and everything about why did you become a teacher and how do you, you know, and I think your philosophy of teaching should hopefully changes throughout, you know, as you grow and mature and as you just see what worked. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, straight up.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be a park ranger.
Okay.
I wanted to grow my hair. I had this big old beard. I had long hair. I had this van, and that was it. I was going to, like, write poetry, carve wooden doors out in the woods.
That's amazing.
And I'm sitting there, I'm like, I think I like people too much.
Yeah.
To go, like, sit out in the woods.
Right, right, right.
And it's funny, I'm growing back to the park ranger part. Like, it's kind of weird. Anyway.
Yeah, the older we get, it's
I tell you what, I'm going back to my roots. And but I guess to answer your question, it's because of people.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, that draw to be around people who, I mean, they got to listen, right? I mean, some don't, right? But they're there. A lot of them want to pick up and listen, you know, pick up what you're dropping down and everything else. I felt I had something to share.
Yeah.
Right? I felt that, you know, and I always knew it. So I teach, you know, social studies now. I have like earth science, geography. So it's still that whole like earthy national parks, like out in the woods type of thing. But why not teach it? Why not share the joy I have for those things with other people?
Right.
Right. And hopefully I can do it. And I think, you know, I don't want to boost my ego too much, but I think it works.
Yeah.
Right. I think that kids, whether it's science, and we were talking about, you know, it doesn't matter really what you do, what you teach and everything else. Doesn't matter if it's science or social studies or even when which I did teach poetry for a little bit. You know, it's
nice.
You throw that passion into it, right? And if a kid can see you, and not all kids are going to love the clouds. Although, it's funny, I had a student the other day. She sent me a picture.
texted me and she goes, Seuss, what cloud is that? Because one of my favorite things is always teaching kids about clouds.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's like an alto cirrus cloud. I don't know, forget what it was or whatever. She goes, I thought so. I'm like, yeah, sure, you did. Because I always tell them, I said, astronomy talk earth science, right? And
yeah,
you know, you always sit there and you're like, got some girl and you're like looking up at the stars and that's all romantic, right? And I said, no, man, it's clouds. It's all day. And I said, but I married the wrong person for that. Because I remember we had this Thunderbird, this 96 Thunderbird, had a moonroof. And sitting there driving with Lisa one day, and we're driving. I'm like, oh, man. I said, look at that cumulus cloud. It's so pu-. And she's like, okay. I'm like, man.
She's like, you are so weird.
Oh, yeah. But I was so into it, you know. But
that's awesome.
So, but again, it's, I think to me, it's about you share the passion that you have about something.
Yeah.
With somebody else and hopefully do it. So my kid the other day, you know, and he wants to be a Lego engineer, which is fantastic. Yeah. I hope he moves to, is it Denmark or wherever Lego is.
Heck yeah.
And I hope it, in fact, I looked for a job at Lego because, and they had one. It was like a Lego educator. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect, right? But you had to move to Denmark. And I'm like,
Doesn't sound that bad.
No, not that. Yeah, but I was in
it. It could be worse.
Could be worse. And so I hope that he does that. But the other day we were sitting there talking, he said something about, well, I could see myself being a teacher. And I thought the same thing your mom did.
Yeah.
Right? That, no, don't. And it's not because it's not a great job. It's rewarding with so many things, like what we're doing now. Like all the things we talked about when I just got here.
Yeah.
Like the friends you meet, like the text you get from former students.
Right.
But it's I don't think society gives it the love it needs. And so I think that's why, you know, with your family, with me, and I think with others who say, oh, don't do it. Right. I think that's the tough part.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to do it, go for it.
Yeah.
It's a great life. I mean, you know, it really is. I mean, just marry well on the other side, you know, or just understand that you're probably not going to have a boat. You're probably not going to have a cottage.
You're not doing it for the money.
You're not. No, that's not there.
Right. I mean, well, and it's funny because it's that if you can do anything else, that like when I was, you know, thinking about going into the pastorate, right?
Yeah.
Like my mentor, he's like, if you can do anything else, do it. Because this is not a job for, it's not a job for the week. It's not a job
for, I was thinking the same thing.
You know,
it's hard work. It's if you want to do it well.
Right.
Look, I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
There's great pastors.
Yep.
There's maybe not so good.
There's shepherds, a lot right? of not so good pastors.
there's good teachers. There's
a lot
not
of
so
not
teachers.
So good teachers.
It takes work. And that's okay. I never wanted to be a teacher where someone's like, oh, see, they're complaining about their job all the time. They're blah blah blah.
Dude,
that's not me. And I'm not.
Right.
That's not what I'm saying. It's just it's not easy either.
It's not a three. It's not an 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. and your summer's off.
No, it's not. In most, listen.
There are some that do.
There's some that do, I think there's some jobs that are like that. But I'll be honest with you, even the people who, it doesn't matter what, I don't know, I'm a carrier teacher, I don't care whether you're the dude laying concrete at my house today.
Right.
Those guys could have left. I mean, they left right before I got here, so they left at, I don't know, a little after 6:30. And literally, they didn't have to.
Right.
But he this is what he said, and this is why you hire a guy like this. He said, I would do this at my house. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yep.
He took the time and he's got a passion for concrete.
Yep.
And that's great. And so that's what you do. And so I don't care whether you're a teacher or whatever. Every job is going to have a difficulty or have, if you want to do it the best you can. Right?
Yep.
So yeah, there's people who complain about it. There's always people who complain about it. But every job's hard. And I think if you put your passion into it and
it's
the rewards come that way.
It's weird because every job is hard and yet every job is beautiful. Like, it's this, you know what I mean?
I agree.
It's, yeah.
And you can tell people who really love that job. Like, I love teaching.
Yeah.
But and that's why I teach.
Yep.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of jobs that are kind of cool.
Yeah.
I just don't know if I love it.
Right.
Like, my dad always thought I'd be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Right? Because I argued well.
Yeah.
I probably shouldn't argue so much with my mom. But my mom wanted me to be a preacher. Because my grandpa was a preacher. And she's like, oh, you'll be a preacher.
And you only have to work one day a week with the preacher.
That's it, right? That's it. Never. You're not going into hospitals.
So, dude, funny story. I cracked that joke a couple weeks ago before Ethan left for his baseball league, and he stopped, and he wheeled on me and was like, he's like, "That's bullcrap.
You're a liar."
And we know that's bullcrap.
Yeah.
Don't ever, like, he was like mad about it. It was really
funny.
See,
and that's when you know exactly what it is, and people defend you for that.
Yep.
Because you're right. Again, but you're a good preacher. You're right. I shouldn't say preacher. You're a good pastor. Yeah. I think being a pastor is different from being a preacher. Yep. And I think that when you care and when you go and shepherd your flock and everything else, I think that's when it really turns into that. Because you're right. Anybody can get up there and preach and give a
Anyone can be a communicator and give the book report.
100%. Sounds great. Put on a show, right? Make some great money.
Make some big cash.
Right? You know what I'm saying?
That was another funny story. We do these congregational meetings once a year where, you know, our budget gets approved and all that kind of stuff. And part of that is my, you know, salary or whatever.
Sure.
Right. And so Libby is looking at the paperwork and she's like, "Dad, you need to take one for the team and go to one of the mega churches."
That's it. Yeah. Big old church.
She's like, you need to get them 6-digit numbers, Pop.
That's it, man. Throw on a little microphone on the side of your face.
Like a little Miley Cyrus situation. Just, let Garth Brooks go. Let's rock. Yeah. No. Oh, man. So, all right. I think about you. I think about especially the impact that that you had on Ethan when you were his coach. My favorite picture is you guys must have lost.
We never lost.
Yeah, right. we're losing.
No, I think we lost one game.
And you know. And he's sitting over the end of the bench, and there's nobody else around except for you, and you've just got your arm around him.
I remember that picture.
And I love that picture because I felt like every time I see that, to me, that is the embodiment of you as a teacher. And I've seen that played out because I've had the privilege of being a part of like the tailgates.
I was gonna say,
know, yep. And so I've got to see you in that environment with these kids, and so not just football players.
Well, I think that's important, and that goes to. I remember being evaluated for the first time, so it was my second year or whatever it was, and my evaluator said, "Hey, you know, everything's great. You know, you're doing really well." And I said, "I appreciate that." She goes, "But do you care about all your kids?" And I was really offended by that question because I truly do. But because I was a football coach.
Right.
Right. And because, you know, I was like first, second year teacher, whatever it was. And, I wasn't as outgoing. I mean, I wasn't out there as I was now. And so maybe I didn't see everybody or wasn't involved in everything, but that really, I was offended and it jump-started a lot of that stuff, right? To say, well, you better make sure. Because if somebody, it doesn't matter if it's true or not.
Yeah.
If somebody perceives that that's what it is, then you better fix it.
Yeah.
Right. And so I said, well, you don't just have football players or athletes or, you know, band kids or choir kids or whatever in your classroom. You have everybody.
Right.
Right. And some people don't do anything. And some people are, you know, do everything. Right. And you better find a way to connect somehow. Don't care what it is. Right, they're drawing in their classroom, in your classroom. I don't care whether when they're supposed to be reading or whatever they're supposed to be doing. Just go say nice art.
Yep.
Right? Like, go, like, that's easy things.
Yep.
But it's, I don't think everybody recognizes that. Right. But it's so simple to do. Yep. And it means so much to a kid. You know, and you can tell it does when they give you that artwork the next day. Right. They say, they put your name on it. You're like, cool, bro. Yeah. Thanks, right? Whether it's the tailgate, whether it's doesn't have to be just be athletics, but I think, so I know what game you're talking about, and so the Monroe game was the only game we lost that year.
Yeah.
Just to let you know.
Yep.
And I remember...
those boys were huge.
Monroe? Was that I think it was Monroe.
God, they were big boys.
I think that was it. And I remember, it's never good to lose, but
And kids take it hard, yep. Especially kids like Ethan. Kids who, and again, you talk about this in any arena, whether it's, you know, in a classroom on a test, yep. Something like that. People who think they have that they're really good at something, right? And have that competitive edge. Doesn't matter what it is, mm-hmm. They don't want to fail.
Right.
And so, that's your job.
Yep.
That's not your just job as a coach. That's your job as a human being, right? When you see somebody hurting, right, you go talk to them. I remember we had this great another quarterback, right? He was so upset. We were, we lost that game too. And I remember he threw his helmet. Oh, don't throw your helmet.
Right.
You can do a lot of things. And you
don't throw your helmet.
You can say a couple words to me and I understand, like, it's, you're all jacked up.
Yep,
I can let things go. Don't throw your helmet.
Right.
So I snatched up that helmet and I held on to that helmet for about half a quarter.
Yeah.
And I put this other quarterback in. He's like, Seuss, am I getting my helmet back? I said, oh, no, goodness, no. That ain't going to happen. Right? And I let him fume for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And then, so he's on a knee on the sideline because we didn't, you know,
Send
him to the bench during the game. And so I went over to him, had a break. I don't know, defensive coach must have called a timeout. And went over there and I think put my hand through his hair or whatever.
Yep.
Talked to him because he had long hair at the time. And I said, you good now? Right? You done? Right, we over it. And so, kind of like you do with a pitcher at the mound,
yep.
Right? You know, just need to settle down, need to break.
Yep.
I said, we don't throw helmets. We don't do that. But, you know, you tell you're hurting, and that wasn't a good time to put you back in, all jacked up and everything else. And so, to me, again, tons of wins,
yep.
You know, as a coach. But it's those things.
Yeah.
It's the arm around the kid on the bench who's upset for the loss. It's the kid who's upset, you know,
yep.
That you just go talk to him.
Right.
Right? And I think that's what you have to do in life. I don't care whether it's, you know, my wife was telling me she works at St. Joe's and she runs a unit up there, and that's been hard with COVID.
Yeah.
And a lot of families losing people. And I got to tell you, she's the best person to deal with that same sort of thing, to put your arm around to somebody to say, hey, and I learn a lot of empathy from her. She has way more than I do. Yeah. Right. And so it's nice to learn. I think that that's what makes it not just a job, right?
Right.
That's what you need to do. You need to see somebody hurting, you go deal with it. And I think that's what makes you connect with an Ethan, with a Libby, with a Joe, with a, you know, with an Alex, with whoever it is. I mean, you just care for them.
Yep.
Right? And you see what, I don't know if we got probably off the topic there.
Not at all. No, this is, we're right on the topic.
Yeah.
Which, you know, brings me to that kind of the question that I've been asking everybody is how do you define love?
I think, so I was thinking about that. You asked me that question, right, today, and I, you know, had some stuff going on, but it was I love that you asked me earlier because it was playing in my head all day.
Yeah.
Again, my buddy, you know, I texted him. He gave me this nice Wedding Crashers quote.
Right.
Apparently, I don't know movies well enough quotes, but.
So you got to read the quote.
Oh, yeah,
Because here's the thing. You read the quote, and I was like, dude, that's deep.
It's deep, bro.
And then you were like, that's from Wedding Crashers. It kind of blew my mind.
Which apparently, I got to watch that movie again.
I need to rewatch it for sure.
So he said.
And they're coming out with Wedding Crashers 2.
Are they really?
So,
oh, that's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, it's going to be fantastic. Yeah.
So I told him, I said, hey, I got my first legit podcast guesting night, right? Because we've been talking about doing one. And I said, hey, man, I said, it's about love, you know, and I said, what do you think? He goes, true love is your soul's recognition of its counterpart in another. And my wife, she's on the thread, and she goes, oh, deep, man. You know, and Chris is just saying, and Lindsay, you know, his wife, she goes, it's from Wedding Crashers, guys, you know, I'm like, come on, you know. And So I thought about it a lot, and, you know, joking around with my wife when I was coming here, you know, she goes, I want to know what love is, or I don't know what she did, or Tina Turner is what's love got to do with it, you know, all that stuff. But I was thinking, to me, love's no matter what. Hmm. Like, it's a no matter what thing. And it doesn't matter if you agree with somebody, right? It doesn't matter if it's not a good time, right? It doesn't matter what situation you're in. It doesn't matter if you got something to do.
Yep.
Love is I'm dropping it, right? I can set that aside. It's no matter what,
right?
And I think
you see that. And I think you know. I think people know when they have to do it. I think some people ignore it. I think some people think maybe that's not an important thing right now and right then. Mm-hmm. But it is to that person. I think, I mean, so you can go, of course, you can go to the Bible, right?
Sure.
And love is patient, love is kind. And I was thinking about that, too. And I was thinking about, like, okay, well, I was trying to be all philosophical about it.
Yeah.
And so money is the root of all evil, right?
Right.
So
all kinds of evil.
All kinds of evil. Well, okay. So
that's an important...
It's an important word.
That's an important distinction.
It doesn't even matter, because I was going with this. I mean, it matters for... That's a different podcast. I'll come over for that one, too. But then love is the blossom of everything good, right? And I was kind of... I was trying to think about that. Because I was thinking, okay, loyalty. Because I was thinking all these examples of what love is.
Right.
And I'm like, no, that's more loyalty. And I'm like, oh, no. So, like, intimacy. I said, no, that's more trust.
Yeah.
Right? And I was thinking of all these things, and I'm like, man, those things, if you really boil it down to it, those, again, those tenets of, like, being a good leader, being a good person, it's like, those aren't love. But they all came from love. Yeah. They all, like, it, I don't know. They, to it's me, a, like, it grew out of that.
Right.
You know, and so...
So it's, like, it's almost like love is the... is like the root system.
So I'm, you're right.
That supports all of this, all this
great
good stuff.
Yeah. Right. And so that's what, to me, again, to me, right, it's a no matter what thing, but it's everything else. I mean, it's Sturgill Simpson. He's a really good, I guess he's country, right? If you want to give him a label, because I think he did win like a Grammy for like country music a couple years ago. But it's kind of like this like weird... like alt country folk kind of whatever it is. But he sings a song, and one of the quotes is, and I truly believe this because I have a great best friend, and it's, he said, love is something like, love, I always see love in my best friend's eyes.
Okay.
You know, I was kind of thinking about that. Like, I think you see love in people. I mean, to me, love's when you walk in your door, and I don't care whether you had a crappy day at work, or, you know, some kid gave you a hard time at school, or, you know, maybe somebody died that you were pastoring in the hospital or whatever it is. And you come home and Libby or Ethan's there, or Jackson's there, or Benjamin's there, and they hug you, and they don't care.
Right.
They don't care you had a crappy day. And you got to not bring that in.
Yeah.
Right. You just got to know that this kid who's whatever age they are, don't matter if they're 18, don't matter if they're six, whatever it is, they came running to you with like pure legit love. Yep. Like that to me, that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Right. And that look, right, that they have, and that, I don't know. So that's what love is to me.
Yeah.
Right. Like, love's in little things. Like, I mean, but grand gestures are great. Right.
Yeah.
Like,
that's cool. Yeah. I mean, everybody wants the, you know, the say anything moment, right? With the boombox over the head.
Those are great. Like,
it's great.
Yeah. Those are good.
But like, yeah, those little things.
Yeah. Every day. Like, again, today I was getting out of the shower before I came here, and asking Lisa, you know, what her thoughts were about it, and she's like, "Love's putting your towel over the over things you forgot." I'm like, "Bet." I'm like, "It is, right? I appreciate that because I want to be cold when I get out," you know. But it is doing things that maybe the other person.
Yep. I feel like Amy would say, "Love is putting your dirty clothes in the hamper, not next to the hamper."
Right,
right,
yeah, for sure. You know, but it is thinking about people that you know, and we don't always do that because we get busy or we get selfish or whatever.
But, yeah, that's good. So who? I mean, I am more convinced than ever. A friend of mine, a mentor of mine, long, long time ago, said the most important things in our lives are caught, not taught. Mm. And so what he meant by that is people are going to, they're going to learn more from being around you, watching you, doing life with you, as opposed to you sitting down and saying, okay, step one, right? and so one of the things that has been, one of the things that I'm finding consistently in people who really love well is they have had somebody who has modeled that. So who do you feel like infected you with this love well thing? Because, I mean, I know you don't walk around thinking, I'm going to love well today, but you just do it. And so who infected you? Who was that model that you watched and were like, yeah.
Well, it's funny. I think before I do that, I think it's interesting what you say. That's a heavy burden, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? To if people are going to, and I think you're right. I think your buddy was right when he said it is caught.
Yeah.
But man, what a load if you think of it like that, because
dude,
man, you better watch what you, especially with kids.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, other people too, right? But you have this one responsibility with kids, whether they're your own or not. You have this like, and they perceive more, they look mm-hmm. constantly, and man, you can't mess that up.
Yeah.
Right. And there's days that we do.
Yeah.
Right. Like there's,
100%.
I'm not a perfect father, nope. Not a perfect person. And there's days where I go to sleep and I regret the choices yeah. I made that day or whatever else. And I was like, man, I hope they didn't pay attention that right? close today.
Right?
Right. I hope that one didn't yeah. catch
it's
up.
Like, it's like that. It's like that country song, right? Where the guy's like about, you know, I want to grow up and be like you, Dad. And
oh, yeah.
the kid swears. He's like, where'd you learn that?
Yeah.
I learned it from watching you, Dad.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. yeah.
That song makes me cry every dang time now, too. Now my kids are old.
Shoot.
And, but yeah, like, well, and it's interesting that, that you said that because, in the scriptures, right? Like in 2 Corinthians, it talks about this idea that that people who are trying to follow Christ are ambassadors for him, right? And so you know what an ambassador, the role of an ambassador is one who speaks on behalf of an authority and speaks with the authority of that authority. And so if, you know, for people who are like, yeah, I'm following Jesus, well, everything that comes out, that is a burden.
It's a huge,
it's crazy.
And it's one we especially when we're angry, especially when we're, you know, one emotion or the other, you lose sight of that. Yep. I mean, it's easy to sit here and talk, you know, talk to your friend and talk to, you know, whoever, and you really contemplating those things.
Right.
But when a moment happens and you are quick to whatever,
like
anger or whatever it is, like you, man, it's like, oh,
dude,
I left that there.
I'm telling you, I think one of the things that I'm learning with that in particular is, I think one of the most important things we do when we're trying to love well is when we kind of get to that point where we're like, oh man, did I blow it? Is to be quick to say, I blew it. Please forgive me. And man, telling and not just saying I'm sorry.
No.
There's such a I've learned over the years there's a big difference between saying I'm sorry and saying, will you please forgive me?
Oh.
And with my
Well, that's the contract, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like so saying I'm sorry is of course we all know that most people aren't.
Right.
But it's fine, but we say it so often.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And asking for forgiveness is a contract.
Yeah.
I mean, you truly are, because you're trying, you have to be merciful if you're the one getting asked, and you have to understand that, okay, like that's a big deal. And then to me, you try your best not to do that thing again. But I think that's a huge point. I think that's a huge thing that we miss sometimes. We don't want to ask for that. We don't want to throw yourself down in front of somebody and say, listen, I messed up. Right. And that's a huge thing. So I try to do, so it's hard.
It's so, right? Especially with your kids.
I was going to say that.
Oh,
and so
my
that's something I'm trying so hard to do. And I think it's good because I need this. My kids need to do that.
Right.
You know,
because they're going to catch it from us.
That's it. You're right. Now I do that with adults a lot, like you know, especially ones I do care about. I probably don't do it as much with people I don't,
right.
Just because I'm like, I don't know, it's worth it. And then maybe that makes me a little less of
not
loving well, but I get it.
Hey,
there's
man,
room for growth.
We're all in process.
That's right.
We are all in process.
But I think, like, I'm very, you know, if I do something, you know, against my wife, or if I, you know, maybe had an argument, maybe, or whatever it is, and I want to say I'm sorry. Like, there's, it's not like Catholic guilt. It's just like I don't want that on me anymore.
Well,
right? And so I want to help. I want to get rid of it. So it's a selfish thing to a degree, but I really am. Like, I want them to understand that I didn't. That's not me. I didn't mean to do that.
Well, and there's, and I think what's so interesting, they use that word, you know, you say Catholic guilt, right?
Right.
But there is a writer. I think she's, I want to say she's a sociologist. A gal named Brené Brown.
Okay.
Fantastic. She's really good. Really, really good. She's written a ton of books on empathy and leadership and that kind of thing. She has a great podcast on leadership. She's another one on, like, kind of emotional well-being. But one of the things that she does is she differentiates between guilt and shame.
Oh, okay.
And she's like, guilt is good. Guilt is where you recognize the thing you did and you know you did wrong. And so you go, like, so if I lie to you, I go up to you and I'm like, Seuss, I lied to you. Please forgive me. That's guilt. Yeah. Guilt is good. Shame is bad. Shame is where I lie to you and I think to myself, I'm just a liar. I'm a total liar. Yeah, and so my response to that is, now I'm going to isolate. I'm going to pull back. I'm going to hide, right? Because that's my identity. So shame is this internalization of like bad deeds. Guilt is the externalization of it, where you say,
which is more healing.
Which is more healing. Right, okay. Yeah. So you, because you can own it. You can say, like you said, man, this isn't me, right? Yeah. And so, like, when we would, when our kids were little, when we would discipline them, we were, Amy and I were really intentional about saying, like, if they did, lying's just easy. So they if they lied, right? You acted
That's
like a liar. You acted this way. Like, so it was like, we wanted to make sure to distance.
You don't want your kid to say, I'm bad.
Right.
Or I'm you, this. You're not.
You acted bad.
So that's
you know, so because what's acting? Acting's
I'm
just putting
that tonight,
acting's putting on a mask, right? Acting's acting's putting on, you're putting something on that's not you.
Which means if you put it on, you can take
it off.
That's right.
Right? But no, if it's you, if you're bad,
you're stuck with it.
You're not stuck with it. So like that that differentiation of shame and guilt
is
Yeah, that was one of the most profound things.
I'll say that's a pretty defining moment here. Like, I'm going to... Actually, dude, that's... My parenting might change here.
Seriously, one of the most important things I feel like I've learned in the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Listening to these... listen to the podcast.
So, okay. So, who was defining...
Who modeled this for you?
So, growing up... this might be a long answer.
Yeah, that's all right. You got time, man. There's no time
for it. No, I'm good. Yeah, I
don't know where to be.
I didn't grow up in a, it wasn't warm love.
Yeah.
Right? So we didn't hug.
Yeah.
Right? I remember the first time and maybe I did when I was young. I just don't remember everything. Like, but I remember the first time my dad ever like shook my hand was at my baccalaureate when I was a senior.
Wow.
Right? Like that was, you know, he always patted me on the back. He was my coach. He was always, you know, he did those things. He'd talk with me.
Right.
Right? I think, in fact, one of the signs of, like, you know, my dad's an older guy from West Virginia, right? He's a great guy, right? But emotion wasn't going to be one of these, like, you know,
things that he was going to do, right?
So,
right.
So I remember he'd always get, I'd get in the car at school, he'd pick me up, and a hard worker, right? Worked midnight so he could, you know, he'd hit me hard on the leg, you know, and hey, how's your day? You know, that to me was my dad's expression of love and concern and care and everything else. But so it wasn't like this warm, like, it was love. I mean, my parents loved us, no doubt. But it was a, it was an old biblical type of love.
It was a stoic love.
It was very stoic. Yeah. My mom, who was a very nice and very, who was very nice and very loving person, but not outward emotionally.
Right.
Right. Like, you knew she cared about you because she took care of you. Right.
Yep.
You know, but it was kind of like that. So, and we had like tons of foster kids now, but it was, but it was providing. It wasn't like this very loving, nurturing type of thing. So I remember I wasn't a big hugger.
Yeah.
Never was.
Yeah.
Until I met my friend Kim, and I kind of teased her. She'd always hug. And I'm like, what are you hugging? Like, hug for it. Right? And now I've embraced it. I love hugging.
Yeah.
I think hugging is one of the coolest
things. It's one of the best things ever.
I'm telling you, like, if I could hug more, I would. Like, I know COVID, like, hurt.
Oh, COVID.
I mean, and I'm not the biggest hugger in the world, because I'm like, there's some people who I know who like can't, like, Michelle Cox. I mean, that woman
can hug.
That she right. So but I'm getting there, right? I miss the hugs, and so to me, there's no one person.
Yeah.
But what I've done, and I think this is the way I've been my whole life, and is I've learned love, different kinds of love, and different types of how to express love through different people. So like hugging, I would give that to Kim. Affection and care and just embrace through my wife. Like she was, and I feel bad. And so if she ever listens to this, you know, I hope you understand. Like I wasn't, because of the way I grew up.
Right.
I wasn't comfortable with like having somebody like on you all the time.
Right.
Or
And she was. Like, her mom was a very loving person and hugged and things like this. And that's, but I wasn't used to it. And so I always feel bad that I pushed her off early because, you know, now it's
you weren't a cuddler.
I know, and I want to cuddle. That's all I want to do now. Like, I've changed, but I need to.
I've grown!
I know, right? I need you to bring it back. Anyway.
And now she's like, good God, I'm so freaking tired.
See what I'm saying? Right, yeah. Yep. So there's that. I think I've learned that Raquel, one of the teachers, that she was my mentor teacher as well when I was, she taught me how to be a teacher when I did student teaching. Empathy, love with empathy. Like, I've never met a more empathetic person than her, right? And so I've learned that part of love from her. Just being a loving person through, again, my best friend and his wife. I was teasing him again today. You know, I said, well, I'm just going to say love is Chris and Lindsay.
That's right.
Because it truly is, right? Huh. It's the lust. And I look at them and they have three wonderful girls and there's just he always says, expression goes, love, love. Right. And I think it's great.
Yep.
And I think that actually from his parents, right, going over to this house all the time when we were in high school and after, just there was love in that house. I mean, so seeing it from just a bunch and then seeing what love wasn't, right? I think that was a big thing too. And just from like, I'm like, that doesn't look like love. And but they say it is, right? And you kind of learn about the way. But there wasn't. To me, it's a collective thing, which is kind of where I'm at. That was what I was going to say. Like, I'm okay with that. Like, I remember, I'm very open that way. Like, my wife sometimes, when I, especially when Jackson was by himself, like, we went out a lot, and I was always trying to find a babysitter. She goes, man, you let anybody watch your kid. I said, well, because they all love him, right? Like, that's cool. Like, I would trust anybody.
Right.
But it was nice that she was some balance to that. But I think, that's how I feel. Like, I remember being in college. I'm like, oh, man, I just met this cool friend. She's like, friend? She goes, you just met him one time? I'm like, yeah, but we're in. Right? Like, I just feel like I feel connected. So to me, like, but
no
again,
that was.
No wonder
you and Ethan connected so well, because that is exactly how he is.
Right. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, and I think, and I truly feel this way about people. I think people can sense, you know, I don't know about all the, you know,
all the
mystic
woo-woo stuff.
I get that. But I think people can sense who people are.
Yep.
Right. And I think that, especially when you find that like-minded person, right, or that soul that, you know, the same, I think that you know.
Yep.
Right. And I think that you're drawn that way. But yeah, so, you know, I think my aunt, right, who, you know, took me to school every day, right, and taught me things about just expanding my world. I think that's part of love, right? Mm-hmm. She wanted to educate me. And I think that my sister, who, you know, who loved my mom more than anybody, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that, seeing that caring type of love that she had for her. I think there's a lot, you know, that you just take from, I think this, to be quite honest with you, you know, I'm not saying this because we're talking, but your love for the community of Lincoln is something that it always inspires me, right? Like, I mean, I got it. Like, I mean, I get it too, but the fact that you're always 100% in is pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that, I grew up in Ipsy, but I went to school in Ann Arbor for elementary school. I went to school in Westland for high school, right? And then, I mean, first time I set it was in a public school was when I was doing pre-student teaching. Right?
Yeah.
So I never really had, I mean, I was always somewhere.
Right.
And I think maybe that was good, maybe it was bad. I don't know. But I think what it did was understand that, one, there's a lot of different stuff out there, but community needs to be a thing.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that's what, going back to what we talked about at the beginning, that's why I want to live where where I work, where I teach, where I mean, I like going, like, people ask, oh man, you go to shopping at Kroger. I'm like, I do. Well, doesn't it take you forever because you ran into all these people? Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that's.
It's fantastic.
It is. Like, I mean, yeah, it does. I got to budget in like another hour. Like, I get it.
No, and there are times where it's like, you know, like I've got the places that I know I'm going to be seen and I'm going to see people. And I've got my places that I can go and no one's going to know who I am.
Which are good to have too.
Which are good to have too. So it's like, you know, there are times when you pick and choose, right?
Just go to the Milan Kroger. You're
fine. Yeah. Exactly.
No, but I think it's,
I know that's a long way to answer that question, no, but that's I think it's a fair way because yeah. I don't think there was one person. I, yeah. And I think I'm glad that I had that, however I was, open that. I don't know if that's because I was adopted and I feel like everyone's this big family anyway. Mm-hmm. But I think that was a good thing.
Yeah.
Right? To, I don't know. Yeah.
Dude, I didn't know you were adopted.
Oh, yeah. But it's what, yeah, my parents had, man, I don't know how many foster kids running throughout that yeah. house. And my sister, a year older, and then me, and then my brother, who's 4 years older, or 4 years younger, sorry, we're all adopted.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
Wow.
But so, man, so again,
that's another podcast
that's
episode.
Right there. Oh, dude, we can talk about
holy
that.
Holy cow,
hours.
That's so cool, too.
Like, but now, wow. My parents were really open about adoption and about, like, they never, like, hid it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and I always encouraged my brothers, you know, found his family, and my sister just found her family.
Okay.
In fact, he's a professional baseball player for a time. It was kind of cool, right? Who knew?
Legit.
She didn't. Right. But it was kind of cool, right? Like, yeah. So, and now she has this relationship with them. But again, that to me, that's love.
Yep.
Being honest.
Yeah.
Again, branches from that love tree, right?
Yep.
Of,
yep.
You know, you're not going to try to hide that from your kid. You're going to, that's who they are. That's right. Part of what they are. And so my parents, and I always admire that from them because it'd be hard.
Yeah.
To, you know, having a kid's kind of like this thing, right?
Right.
Like, and I, you know, for whatever reason, but I think they loved us exactly how, you know, God thought we should be loved. And I thought that, I think that's cool.
Yeah.
So last thing I'll say about love is probably the church I grew up in. There wasn't a better church to grow up in. It was at Faith Lutheran out in Nipsey. And from men's softball games to Vacation Bible School, but the AL potlucks, whatever it was, man, that church was love. That church was, it was funny. I, you know, had your little church girlfriend or whatever.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You had like, you know, a bunch of people just hanging out, and we were all this in from the same place. You know, whether it was from Belleville or Sumter or Lincoln or Ipsy or wherever, Canton or whatever it was, we're all. It was nice because we all were like. It's the same kind of mind where we, that church was a family.
Yeah.
Right. And I think that love spread throughout there, whether that was just really neat. And I think that, I think that all impacted that.
Yeah. So that's awesome. Yeah. All right. So I joke that we can go forever and ever.
Yeah, for sure.
Which we could, but, I also have learned over the years.
No one's going to listen.
That nobody's going to listen forever and ever and ever. So, man, I feel like we could do a whole other episode. There's just so much.
Part two.
So here's one of the fun things. This is one of the questions I didn't flip you before, because I want your like. Right.
Honest gut.
This is the gut.
See, now we're in trouble.
That's right. There's no go wrong here. It's just gut, right?
Get a sip of bourbon for this.
That's right. Get a sip of bourbon. I really wish I had brought the bottle over, because my glass, mine got poured into a defective glass.
Is that a hole there?
It's got a big hole in the top, and it all leaked out. So, all right. So here's the rapid fire question. Just
all right, get it.
All right. So when you need to get like when your love well tanks are kind of starting to dip. Right, but you know, you can't go out and meditate or do whatever thing that you're going to usually do to kind of replenish. What's the like two or three, maybe, you know, whatever songs?
Oh man,
that you pop on the iPhone or whatever, and you're like, these just get you back in that zone.
So again, I think anything by Sturgill Simpson. I think that whole, there's a song, what is it?
Pull it up, man.
Yeah, I might have to because, man,
because here's what I'm going to do in the show notes. So after we get done, I'm going to go on Spotify
and
I'm going to make I'm going to make the Nathan Seuss Love Well playlist.
Oh. If you're listening to this right now, Just listen to the playlist. You don't have to listen to anything else. I mean, that right there is that's going to be phenomenal. There's a song he has, "Keeping Between the Lines," and he talks about his kid, and then "Welcome to Earth, Little Pollywog." He talks about his kid. I think that whole album of Man, you can pick anything off of,
all right.
of that album. It was just phenomenal. there's a song, Turtles All the Way Down. All the Way Down, which talks about, again, has that line about when I stare into the eyes of my best friend, that's when I see love.
Okay.
Also talks about a little religion in there, which
all right.
I don't know if I agree with everything he's saying, but sure. it makes you think.
Makes you think.
I don't know. Man, it's just really anything by him.
All right, well, I'll make sure those
I'm really into him. Like, Oh Sarah is really good. Right now, if I'm like talking like, yeah, see that's kind of, so you can talk about love like that. So there's this new guy called Morgan Wallen. That guy's not too new. I think he was on The Voice like a while ago. He just got, he's got pinched up from saying a couple things, but he's good little artist. And he has this song, Me on You, or what is it? Hold on a sec. Me on Whiskey.
Okay.
And talks about, and I always think of my wife when I think of this. Hmm. And it's talk about like, me on whiskey and you on wine. Little smoky dance room or something like that. And I love that because that would be my like perfect night with my
right.
wife. Right. It's just sitting there, little dive bar, hanging out, talking, laughing, dancing, just like, and with not just my wife, like it could be
anyone.
My buddy. Right. Yeah. Like that's where I find like center. I know it sounds really odd, but that to me is a good thing. Chris Stapleton's got a song out right now called Starting Over.
Oh, it's not necessarily so much good.
About love, but it's more about like where my light, like,
yeah,
it makes me kind of get centered to where I want to be at.
Yep.
We took this beautiful trip last summer during quarantine we just went out west. And we thought we could get away from everybody by just going to national parks and stuff before, you know, through it all. And my wife kept us all safe. And,
right.
Such a good trip for our family. We were gone for almost 4 weeks. And you talk about centering yourself back to nature, back to family, back to whatever you needed to be, especially during them, because our kids, you know, especially our youngest one, he was having a rough time with COVID and being away from people. And so it was nice. I mean, he had a hard time on the trip too, just like touching every, you know, like worried about touching everything. But that was well needed for the soul.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and I think that music just really does that, doesn't it? Like, you know, it's funny. There's this song called Brother's Cup by the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
And it reminds me, it's a good friendship song, right? So I always remember with Chris and my buddy Rob and all that stuff in high school, like that was it. Like, we are the Brother's Cup. And it was just that, it was that community. Again, it goes back to that. And so I don't know if that's like the theme running throughout this whole thing, but how much everybody plays a role in your life and how much that all means. So, yeah, man. I don't know. How about you? What's your one song? I just wonder. Man. Maybe it's not one, but that's a tough question for out there. I'm just saying, you know,
that is a tough question.
I needed that ahead of time.
Hey, man. No, this is what's so fun about it, because then you're like, oh, I got it.
That's the stuff I was listening to lately.
Yep. So if I have to, like, if I got to get that just kind of like that shot of like I got to go now, right?
Right.
It's Standing Outside the Fire by Garth Brooks.
Okay. All right, right on.
That song. And I think, and honestly, I think what it is about that song, more than the song, is the video.
Okay.
That goes with the song. It's, because Garth was one of the first to kind of like, when he would do a video, it would augment the song, right?
I think that's important with that, because there was a lot of times, I mean, growing up with MTV, that's just had no, what are we doing?
Yeah, well, it was just like concert footage, it's like, you know?
Yeah.
But like, so, you know, like when he did the Thunder Rolls video, the fourth verse that he only sung in concert,
right,
is displayed in the video.
That's right.
And he'd go to concert and he'd sing what you saw in the video, but wasn't on the radio. And so you had this whole thing, right? So that song, and Against the Grain by Garth. Those two songs are kind of the like.
I'll check them out.
And maybe The River by him too.
It's just funny how it's an artist,
Yeah.
Right? Like, and I think that's a really important thing because, I mean, like, Mumford, see, I just haven't been listening to Mumford lately.
Yeah.
Because I've been all in this, like, Morgan Wallen kick.
Yeah, but, yeah, yeah.
Anything by Mumford and Sons, like that whole, well, during COVID, my wife had to make this, like, video for, or wanted to, for her work. And
yeah.
I'm sitting there in the shower, you listen to music, and you really get into it. And I'm like, you know, the first, like, Tompkins Square Park and all that stuff, man, that is, like, some really moving stuff. So that, like, if I wanted to, like, get in my feels.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, well, there's a whole album, you know, that our playlist, right, that's on there. I don't know if you do the same thing, but, oh, shoot, where is it at? It's called Feeling It.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, I had to get up in there. I mean, you got anything from, like, Cody Jinks to Uncle Lucius to Sturgill to, I don't know, you got Johnny Cash. But it's funny how you find those artists, right, that just really do.
They just hit you.
They do. And whatever they're talking about, however they feel, you know, it's what you feel. I think that's the cool part about music.
Yeah.
I've never been a big movie guy, which is why I probably failed with the Wedding Crashers thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like movies. I watch them.
Yep.
But then they kind of move on.
Right.
Right? But music doesn't. Like, I'm a more of that. Like, I can't do movie quotes.
Yep.
But I can tell you song quotes.
Yep.
Right? Like, that's...
Yep. See, and it's funny, like, outside of a couple hours, so it's like Garth for me and U2. Like, those are my, I could have, I mean, as far, like, I Beautiful Day, Stuck in a Moment.
Yeah.
I mean, it just, like, those are songs that are go-tos, right?
Yeah, they really are. No, they are.
So.
Well, it's funny, I don't know about you, but when you... The song for the moment.
Yep.
Right? And, you know, maybe it was the song happened during a time and that was it, or the band happened during a time. I remember, like, Sublime or Red Hot Chili Peppers. Those are, like, buddy groups.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And whether it's, you know, Lay Lady Lay with Dave, you know, Bob Dylan. And
yeah.
Lover Lay Down by Dave Matthews. That was, like, All About My Wedding, right?
Yeah.
You know,
this.
Those are love songs.
Yep. I like
those. Anyway. now I gotta go home and listen to some music.
Now you gotta go. Man, all right. So, when your tanks are empty, if you could do one thing to fill your tank, what's the one thing you do?
Oh, man.
Man, I've got a sense of it already, I think, with, like, the national parks and that kind of thing.
Yeah, if I could get out.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, like, there's this place. I don't know if you've ever been in Ithaca, New York.
Mm-mm.
It's only 7 hours away. It's not far.
Okay.
And if you're my wife, you can make it in 5.5, 6. Right. But, you know, who's the better driver? There's love.
That's right. There's
I'm going to let you have at least.
That's right.
Anyway, 100 waterfalls in, like, 10 square miles. Like, it's insane. Walking that is phenomenal. I mean, it is nature. I mean, that to me, like, the Redwoods, I'd never been to the Redwoods before, and, that was one of our later destinations on this trip that we took, and seeing the majesty of those trees, it's impressive, it's awe-inspiring, but it's peaceful. I mean, it's the place I want to be.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, Michigan's great.
Right.
I love my community. I don't want to leave because I have so many good friends and so everything else, but, man, I wish we had, like, and I know we got our lakes, and I know they're great.
Right.
But it's trees and mountains. It's I went swimming in Crater Lake.
Nice.
And it, you know, nobody else today was cold.
Right.
It was
right.
Legit. And I've never felt surrounded by more clean, like, it was like I was refreshed everywhere, inside out. Like, I have to think, and you being a pastor, I think all baptisms should just be in Crater Lake. Just have it be, like, strictly a baptismal fountain.
That's right.
That's all we're doing.
That's right.
Right? And
yeah.
It literally purified every part of me. And but what I went to initially is just being, just talking.
Yeah.
Like, to me, if I need to get centered, I apparently am not thinking right.
Hmm.
Right? If I'm off.
Yeah.
So, who's your go-to people? And to me, it's my buddy Chris.
Yeah.
It's my wife. It's at work, it's Raquel or Lori.
Yep.
Right? It's
Lori's going to be on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Well, that should be a fun one.
She's going to be great.
Have to get a lot of bourbon for
I'm going to have to get more bourbon.
but having those go-to people where you are, right? My whole team. I mean, from Andrea to, you know, it's Danny in the hallway. It's just having those people. Mike's just in the outside. But I think having people like I said, Kim, there's again different people you go to for different things like the love, but talking to people. I think Kim centers me like in my social political life. Politics like as far as like government, but like how do you navigate, you know, your job politically? How do you navigate people sometimes, right? And she's really good with that. And so you go to those people who have those skills. And again, my wife with how do I treat people, she always tells me, she goes, be a better person. Because I have this such high standard for myself and other people, and maybe it's too high sometimes, right, for other people, right? Like, it's what my expectation would be.
Right.
And she's like, just be a better person. And so I think, and that's always on my shoulder. So sometimes, okay. And that's something I've been working on this year, because I just have to, you know, because that's going to make that better. But again, like I was saying, my buddy originally, like, that's what we talk about. If I need a center, I come, call, we talk for 2 hours. Right? And then you either kind of get way off track, which is totally fine. But what it did was, there's just that 2 hours of forgetting about it can help you reset. Or just that hike. There's, I don't know if you've been out to Crosswinds Marsh.
Yeah.
That's not far.
It's beautiful.
It is. So yep. When I was exposed to COVID this year, right? And this was right when we went back to school. It was in October, September, October, and everyone's freaking out.
Yeah.
Right. And we thought, oh my God, I thought, I'm gonna get COVID, I'm gonna die.
I'm not
in the best shape of my life. You know, who knows what's gonna, my wife was working in the hospital, seeing all these people my age, you know, pass away. And I'm like, all right, great. So what do? Throw in earbuds, right? And listen to Sturgill or whatever it was, or Chris Stapleton or Cody Jenks, and I'm walking around. I mean, it's like 5 miles.
Yeah.
Right? Just walking around. And then, you know, I call Chris, I call Lisa, I call Lori, right? You know, you talk to those people. And so that was like everything. That was nature. That was music. Yep. That was friends. Like, because you got to figure it out, right? Yep. And I think, and I guess maybe for people who are listening, like, find that person.
Yeah.
Right, and like I tell the kids every year, if you don't have it, call me.
Yep.
I love to meet somebody else. Yep. Right, like I think that's a good thing, and I think that going back to what that evaluator said a long time ago, you know, you got to be there for everybody.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm here. Right now, I'm not going to pry every, because that's, you know,
right,
that's a lot. Right, but I'm telling you, I'm here.
Yeah.
Right, like. That's what I want to do. That's how you do that job right. That's how you live your life. That's how you love well.
Yep.
Right? If you're going to do it. So.
Hey, man. With that, that's a perfect end.
That's it.
So, guys, thanks for listening. Thanks for hanging out. And until next time, love well, my friends.